Hi, my name is Richard Conway, and today I am presenting Service Management and Beyond, a journey through the Service Management API. So what we're going to do is we're going to understand the power of the Service Management API, and we're going to consider some of the tools that we can use to deliver and deploy applications with Windows Azure. So let me tell you a little bit about myself and how this talk was conceived. I and Andy Cross are co-founders of the UK Windows Azure User Group. We are Windows Azure experts and HPC on Azure experts as well. The content for this talk was actually taken from a talk that I delivered to the user group back in December 2011. So what we'll do is we'll review the agenda for the talk topics today. So I'm going to give a scenario outline of what the Service Management API is and when to use it and how to use it. We'll do a deep dive into the Service Management API to explain what it does, how we're going to use it, and we'll look at using some worked examples. We'll also consider the relationship between the Storage Services API and the Service Management API and see how they can work in tandem to deploy an application to Windows Azure. And we'll be covering some worked examples. And then finally, what we'll be doing is we'll be looking at and considering different tools and techniques that we can use that already exist where we don't need to write any code to actually deploy an application to Windows Azure. So the first message that I want to relay is that service management underpins everything in Windows Azure. So what do we mean by management? Operational management. We can define this in terms of our CRUD model: create, read, update, and delete. So all of our operations on services that we deploy to our platform revolves around this CRUD model. And we'll look at that later in the context of REST services. We can manage transaction security. That's what we mean by management, using X509 certificates. We have a full audit history of everything that's going on with the platform, so we can see what things we've done and what things are pending. We can manage where we want to deploy things. So with Windows Azure, we have a concept of locations and affinity groups. We can actually deploy our applications within one of six data centers internationally, or many of them. By operational management, we also refer to accessing and managing storage accounts, which we can create. Very, very large NoSQL repositories for blobs, tables, and queues. And we can have long-running operations, and we can track them. We can continually poll Windows Azure to let us know exactly what's going on with the operation. If the hosted service is taking 40, 50 minutes plus to deploy, which is a long time, we can find out what's going on through this period. We have a host operating system which is running all of our applications in our Windows Azure role, and we can get information back on this host operating system. And we can also manage services like the service bus and access control service, which have management endpoints. So the APIs that we're going to be focusing on are the Service Management API and the Storage Services API. We can use various tools to manage, and the underlying principle is that they actually use the Storage Services API and the Service Management API. So we have a very familiar management portal, which is an application that Microsoft have written to allow us to manage our hosted services and storage accounts using Silverlight. We have a set of PowerShell commandlets, WAP commandlets, which are downloadable from the CodePlex site, which allow us to script deployments and manage Windows Azure applications that way. We have an MMC snap-in, which we've also been provided by Microsoft. VisualStudio.net has some plugins which allow us to manage parts of Windows Azure. And then there's a whole series of third-party tools provided by such vendors as Nudesic, Cerebrata, and Paraleap. Cerebrata we'll be looking at later. We can use remote desktop clients to remote desktop in to any of our instances, and we can use any device. So what will we manage using the Service Management API? Well, hosted services primarily are what contains all of our role instances. Storage accounts are basically what contains our data. Affinity groups are where we want to locate this, and coupling our storage and our hosted services together. And we'll also be managing security. And the means of doing this are through X509 version 3 certificates. We'll be managing all facets of our subscription as well, and we'll be managing access control services and service bus. Okay, so let's take a short look at what this management actually means. So here we have several types of operations, and this relates to the idea of CRUD that we were discussing before. So very common things that we may want to do. We may want to list all of our hosted services within Windows Azure. We may want to create a new service within Windows Azure. We may want to delete a hosted service, or we may want to update a hosted service with new configuration information, or to put a new service in the place of an existing one. Now, the way that we would do this is simply through REST. As Windows Azure is a REST-based platform, all of the APIs can be accessed from any device. And if there isn't client libraries written for a certain language, then they can be written, because REST is synonymous with internet protocols. So everything that we would be doing is using plain old XML and web requests. So what you can see here is that we have a very well-defined format. We have an HTTP verb, so get, post, delete, or put. And then we have an HTTP request with a subscription ID, which is basically how we interact with Windows Azure. It's what we own through our live ID. And then we have effectively a method call through this services, hosted services. So, things to note. Service management requests are RESTful. And the requests actually look like what was shown in this slide. And so this means that they are platform and language agnostic. So I could just as easily write a library to consume these services in Java as I can in C#, as I can in PHP. And indeed, a lot of these libraries have been written already. And so we can use the same API call coupled with a different HTTP verb. This makes them very, very ergonomic, so that we don't have to have a lot of different XML or SOAP requests to do the same thing and just alter our verb, because all we're going to do is we're going to delete a service, we're going to get information from it, we're going to add one or update one. And these have a one-to-one mapping with our HTTP verbs. So SOAP has a tendency to be quite a heavy protocol. So in the body of all our requests, what we'll be using is plain old XML, very well-known XML schemas. So, another point that I wanted to extol here is that service management is secure. We have the concepts of certificates and integrity. So, X509 version 3 certificates are deployed to the portal. We have two flavors of these certificates. We have management certificates, which are SIR files, which are files which contain a public key. And we have service certificates, which are PFX files. PFX files contain a private key, and they can be used to create SSL sessions with your hosted service. And these are obviously password protected to avoid tampering. So in the version 1.6 of the Windows Azure SDK, Microsoft released a certain type of file called Publish Settings. Publish Settings make it very, very easy to interact with services now. And what Visual Studio does, it enables, through the use of Publish Settings, which is a downloadable file from a well-known URL where you log in using your live ID, to be able to extract a certificate so that you don't need to go through the processes of developing a certificate using development tools and then redeploying this to your hosted services in Windows Azure. And to do this, we would use, when we're not using published settings, we would use development tools such as MakeCert, and we'll look at an example later on. The beauty of using X509 certificates to protect our Windows Azure services, to protect access to them, management access, means that we can create a chain of trust. So we can have any trusted third party signing these, and in doing so, the chain of trust can be checked. So it can be VeriSign, it can be Microsoft even, and as long as they're a trusted provider, trusted root provider, then we can verify that this certificate has had the highest possible security applied to it. So, integrity. What we have is symmetric keys. Symmetric keys are used to transfer all data to and from storage, the service bus, and the access control service. So, this is something that I would share with the Windows Azure service. So every time I need to access this, I would have a special key, and two keys are provided by Windows Azure Storage in this case. And I would then use this key to encrypt the data. And there are certain signature schemes that are used to verify whether this has been done correct. So these signature schemes we'll look at later. They're called shared access signatures. And they have to be done with everything to do with storage services. And it makes use of standard HTTP headers, in this case the authorization header, to show that the shared access signature was correct. And it uses an HMAC scheme. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at Visual Studio, and we're going to run an example going from end to end how we would deploy a service. And I'm going to step through this and explain all of the facets of it. Starting off, these are the things that we're going to need. I've used an app configure to hold all this information. But to be able to use this demo effectively, we're going to need an account name, an account key, which is provided within our storage account. We're going to need a hosted service name. We're going to need a deployment name. We're going to need a description of what our hosted service is and does. We're going to need a subscription ID. We could use a published settings file. In this case, I'm not. And we're going to need a CS package file, which is the output of our Windows Azure project in Visual Studio. And we're going to need a CSCFG file, which contains our cloud configuration. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on the management portal here. And we will take a look at the set of management certificates that have already been uploaded. Now, I need to prove who I am to the Windows Azure Fabric. So what I'll do is I will provide a certificate thumbprint. Now, this certificate thumbprint will be getting my certificate from the current user store and my personal store. So if I run this, let's take a look at the first example, which is us creating a hosted service. Now, if we look at the output, that failed. It's returned with a 400 bad request. So what Windows Azure does is if there's an issue with some of the information that we're sending and requesting to it via REST, it will use HTTP status codes to tell us. Now, what I know is that had my certificate failed, had Windows Azure said to me, you know, we can't prove who you are, then I would have had a 403 forbidden status code. So it's telling me that something's wrong with my request, but the security is okay and I am who I say I am. Now, in this case, what I've done is I'm trying to create a service called ukwarg.test. Now, the reason I got a bad request is because it's because Windows Azure will not allow me to put a dot in that hosted service name. So let's continue. What we're going to do now is we're going to create a blob container called packages1. And in order to check this piece, we're going to use a Cerebrata tool called Cloud Storage Studio, which will allow us to see whether this blob has been created. So I'm using an account that I've already set up, and I already have packages one here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to delete this to make way for the demo. So if we step through this code, we've given this an account name and an account key. And let's look at the output. And so our blob container has been created. If we go back here and we refresh, that might take a while to catch up. Well, we should find shortly that package one has been created. Let's go back there in a minute, as we have to do another operation. So what we're going to do is we're going to put the output here. You can see we have a CS package file, which is what we're going to be running and creating a role with in Windows Azure. So if we step through this and execute, that has now been uploaded to that storage account. So let's go back to our storage services. We'll refresh. Oops. Right. And here we go. We've got our packages one, and we've got Hello World there. Now, if we go back to our application, we're going to create a hosted service. So let's just take note of the hosted services that exist already. Okay. Now, you can see we have two services under the account that we're going to use. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add a third service through that REST API. So there we go. Okay. Now, because this service may take a while to actually be created, what I've had to do is I've had to use a token which Windows Azure provides me to check on what's going on with this service. You know, whether it's completed its deployment or not. And if we actually look here, here we go. We've got our new service that exists. And that was simply using a REST call. Now what we're going to do is we're going to populate that service with something else. So we go through using a different command this time to actually create a deployment. I've wrapped this up in a create deployment command, which delivers the config, the CSCFG file, and again we use a certificate to authenticate, and our subscription ID so it knows where we're trying to deploy this. And on the next refresh, we should see and here we go. Now our application is being created. So that was a simple command pattern that wrapped up all of the requests through the service management API via some REST calls. So that's ongoing, and we're going to wait until that's deployed now, which could take anything up to 10 minutes, unfortunately. So while that's going on, let's look at the code and see what underlies everything that we've done. So we wanted to create a hosted service. So here we go. We're using a name for the hosted service, description, location, an HTTP verb, which in this case is a post, and these two additions to the URL. We create an XML payload, which looks exactly like this. And we can just simply do this using link to XML or some other means. Let's take a look and see how our service is getting on. Okay, now, we've acknowledged now exactly what's been going on with our service and that it's complete. So let's carry on, and we will wait for the service to actually start. There are two discrete operations, the actual deployment and the starting of this. Now, if you see, we've got our default DNS name for the service, which is ukwargcloudapp.net. Just before we go through the motions of deleting this, we'll check to see whether we can actually serve a page. And it might take a while because it's still waiting to start, but eventually we should see our default page there. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do while we've got time is to show you how we can see everything that's going on. What I've done throughout this is I've actually used Fiddler. Fiddler is an HTTP debugging proxy. And here you go. We can see all of these requests that are being made to our Windows Azure subscription. And let me just take you through a few of these. What you've got here is a call using the Service Management API, using our subscription ID, a method, and a token. And we're polling to see whether the operation is in progress. So, and here we go. We've got a whole slew of these saying in progress, and then finally, we've got an HTTP status code 200, which says succeeded. So this is a great way to actually test and see what is going on under the seams with Windows Azure. And we can check the payloads that are going back and forth. We can even use a composer to generate our own payloads so that we don't physically have to write any application code to test something. And you can see it's showing you everything. So here we've got a 502 error where our hosted service was not ready yet. So let's go back and see whether we can serve a page again. Might be a bit slow the first time. Ah, and it's still waiting. Okay. While that goes on, we'll go back to our slides. And we'll review some of the things that we've just discussed. And these are the set of steps that we need to be conscious of. So, we've installed a certificate with a private key to our personal store. We load this certificate into an X509 certificate 2 object, which is a .NET object. We created a service, a hosted service with a bad name with a dot in it, and we received a 400 bad response protocol error. We created a blob container called packages1. We took our Hello World CSPKG file and we placed this in the blob container. We created a new hosted service. We created a deployment. And throughout this, because these are long-running operations, we poll asynchronously and we block until the operation is complete. When that's finished, we start the role instances. We then check whether the application served the page. Then we can stop our role instances, delete our deployment, which we have to do. We can't just delete a hosted services while it has deployments. Then we delete a blob, and then we delete our blob container so that we've started, we've built up, and we've gone back down to zero and consuming no resources. Let's go back and check. Still not ready. The time interval that this takes is dependent. It seems to have, and here we go. So what we've done is we've programmatically created and deployed our application. We've not done this through Visual Studio. We've not done it manually. We've done nothing but use RESTful services and plain old XML. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to finish going through this demonstration. And this will mean that we go through and we delete our hosted service. You can see there's a lot going on here. But somewhere in the midst of this, it says that our deployment has been deleted. And we can go back to our management portal. And yes, here we go. We can see that we no longer have the service that we created. We've deleted that. If we try and reach that, that will time out because there's nothing present. So we've then gone and deleted the blob, and we're going to delete the blob container. And we should be able to go back to and refresh, and packages one has gone. So we used a set of simple commands, and we've achieved quite a powerful objective. Okay. So, some important things to note. In order to actually do what we just did, we need to add the following headers to the request. An XMS version. This tells us what version of the REST APIs we're using. And it's generally a date. Then we use an XMS date, which is the exact date and time that we're sending the request. We use an authorization header, which is our negotiation. In the case of using storage services with our account keys, what we'll do is we'll use an HMAC signature and follow a very, very prescribed format, which Microsoft has documented, to allow us to let the portal know exactly who we are and that this request is valid and has integrity. In the case of sending up a blob, we've used the XMS blob type. We typed our content using the content type application XML. We added a client certificate, and the response was signed by the client to prove who we were. So we've used either a blank request when we've used any other verb other than HTTP post, or when we've used post, we've put the body of a well-known XML schema and we took a look at something just before to show that we'd created a hosted service, and we'll review that later. And the response can contain any HTTP status code: created, accepted, forbidden, bad request, we've all seen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick look at using SDK tools. Microsoft have provided a fantastic console application called CS Manage. And CS Manage allows us to do a lot of things. You can see here that a lot of the information that we get back from our help is very, very rich. What I've done is I've added into the CS Manage run directory our subscription ID and our certificate thumbprint so that immediately CS Manage will be able to locate our account. So what we'll do now is we'll run a simple command, CS Manage list hosted services, just so that we can see what hosted services we have. And as you can see, it just contains the two hosted services that we have. CS Manage can be used to do everything that we did within our application code earlier. We won't go through all of the other functions. It's very, very well documented, but potentially you can do everything that you need to with the REST APIs with this small console app. Going back to our slides, we've already taken a look at Fiddler and inspected what the trace back and forth is. We're now going to take a look at the Cerebrata PowerShell commandlets. PowerShell has been in much greater use recently, especially with automated deployments. And in order to be able to use the service management API effectively, you would want to use this outside of code and be able to script your deployments. So one of the ways of doing this is to either apply the Cerebrata PowerShell commandlets, or alternatively, Microsoft provide a set of WAP commandlets which you can use. What we'll do is we'll take a look at a demonstration that will do exactly the same thing as we've just looked at using these PowerShell commandlets. Now, things to bear in mind are that when we took a look at the application code which just deployed this, we had a set of about 12 steps that we were doing. Now, with Cerebrata's commandlets, we can do this in 4 steps. There's a whole load of things that it automates and skips out, and this will allow us to have very, very fast, quick deployments so that we can apply agile practices like continuous integration to Windows Azure very, very easily. So, here is a copy of PowerShell, which I have up on my screen. And I've set this up to automatically load the Cerebrata PowerShell commandlet scripts. Now, if you look at some of the names of the scripts, you can see that they're completely synonymous with what we've been discussing with the Storage Services API and the Service Management API, such as get blob container, or more relevant to the things that we'll be doing, new hosted service or new deployment. These commandlets are much richer than even that. What they will be doing, what they can do, is they can interact with all of the unitary parts of storage services. So queues, for example. They can interact with databases and create new databases. So they've got a much richer and wider scope than we could build ourselves. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and execute a file that I've already created, which contains the exact same setup as we had earlier, but as a PowerShell commandlet. So first of all, we list our commandlets that are available to us. Now we're creating a hosted service. And if we indeed look at the management portal, we can see that the hosted service has been created. Not only that, we're uploading a blob, but the difference is when I wrote the commands for this piece of demonstration software, it was a very, very different take. I had to create a storage services account, and I had to create a container, and then I had to put the blob there so that my subscription in Windows Azure would have access to this. In this case, I don't have to do any of it. The commandlet will take care of it all. So all I do is give this a client-side file. It will automatically upload without any interest or knowledge of storage services. And then it will use that upload to actually create the hosted service and the deployment. So this is what we're doing now. We're going through the motions, and you can see that we're getting very good feedback, and it's telling us that the deployment is in progress. And as you can see here, we have our deployment in progress. I've set this up so that it will actually tear this down when it's finished as well. So let's just take a quick look at the script so that you can see how easy this is. We'll just put this script into Notepad. And as you can see here, for very simple, discrete operations, what we've done is we've created a new hosted service using this new hosted service commandlet. We've created a new deployment using this new deployment commandlet. We've then removed this deployment, and then we've removed the hosted service. Very simple, I think. So, let's take a look at an example request. We talked about this well-known schema for XML. What's actually happening under the scenes with the Service Management API is that we're doing an HTTP post, and all we're doing is we're sending this block of XML over to it. So, we have a service name. We have a label, which is a base64 encoded string. And this string is the thing that is going to be visible within the Windows Azure portal. We have a description of our service, and we have a location of the service. Now, that particular request got this response back, a bad request. So you can see this as it is. The things that have been returned are the HTTP status code. Notice the 400 status code, so I know what the management port, what Windows Azure is telling me. An XMS request ID, which is something unique to this transaction. And then I've got a block of XML, which is error XML. So I've got a code telling me it's a bad request, and I've got some detailed information in the message which says the hosted service name is invalid. And in this case, we know that we put a dot in the hosted service name. So when .NET receives that error code, it automatically translates it into a web exception so that we know instantly through our inner exception that the hosted service name is invalid. So looking at certificate creation, we can use a utility called MakeCert. And MakeCert will create a certificate for us. It will create it with or without a private key so that we can generate two files, and it will automatically install this into our local certificate stores. And this is an example of creating a new hosted service in PowerShell. What you can see here is that we've got a number of variables. We've got our subscription ID, our hosted service name, a location, a hosted service description. In order to get our certificate and load it as a .NET object, we just use the getChildItem commandlet, and we can direct it to the particular store with the thumbprint of the certificate. Then all we simply do is invoke the new hosted service command with all of these parameters, and that will create a new hosted service. The logical extension of this was for us to develop a Fluent library. So what we've done is we've created a library which we think is going to be very useful to everybody that will allow you to take deployments, certificates, all of these parameters that I've been describing here, and actually use them and inject things for particular roles so that you can vary instance counts and auto-generate the service management request rather than going through the tenuous command pattern that we looked at before. And this you'll find available on blog.elastercloud.com or the compiled libraries on our website, www.elastercloud.com.